Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we're going through the Gospel of Matthew. We ended up at chapter 18 and verse 3, where Yeshua, he calls a little child to him. He sets the child in the midst of him, the disciples, and he says, "Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So he's drawing on the humility, the humble aspect of a child. Not so much the innocence, but the humility and the willingness to learn that we see in all children. That's what he's drawing on. "And whoso shall receive one such little one in my name receiveth me." One such child in my name. And that is a child who has humbled himself and come unto him. "So whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." So to draw someone away from their belief, and I'll tell you what, there are some despicable people out in the world just trying very hard to destroy the faith of many. And it would be better for them if a millstone were hanged about their neck and they were drowned in the midst of the sea, than that they should offend anyone, because there's a special place in hell for people who draw, who rob people of their faith. "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." I would be very afraid. These people don't, they're so prideful. Their conscience is so seared that they fearlessly destroy the faith of others using lies and misrepresentations. Oh, they should be so afraid. They should be very afraid. He continues, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses will come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire." Well, my good friend Tom sent me an email a few weeks ago and about the how there is no hell, that hell is not a real place. Well, was Yeshua lying here when he referred to everlasting fire? Of course, they went to the definition of Gehenna, and they started to build doctrine on definitions. But the Spirit gives us life. The letter of the Word is what kills us. They're building a doctrine on the letter of the Word by going to definitions and spin-meistering those definitions. And then they cut and paste a verse here and a verse there to build up their doctrine. But our Heavenly Father, I mean, Yeshua, our Creator in the flesh, he says here, he talks about men being cast into everlasting fire. And that's the aionios, that's the everlasting, also used a past time or past and future as well, eternal, forever, everlasting. And fire is literally or figuratively specifically fiery, fire, lightning. No doubt about what he's saying here. No doubt about what's recorded in the original language that we have here, the Receptus, Textus Receptus, and the King James translation. The master said, cast into everlasting fire. He's talking about a punishment that will not end. And it doesn't sound like a very pleasant punishment. There's a lot more to be drawn from this verse too. He says, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Well, you know what people started doing right away. They got out their knives, and they were guarding against their hands and their feet just in case they had to cut them off, right? Well, no. He wasn't doing that. He was drawing an extreme illustration. And being the master of illustration, and also being the truth, the illustration was true. What he said was absolutely true. It would be better to cut off your hand than to be cast into that everlasting fire. It would be better to enter into life without a hand. It would be better to enter into life without a foot than have both of your hands and both of your feet cast into that everlasting fire. And when he was talking about cutting off your, he wasn't talking about going to heaven when you die. Because there are going to be no lame or halt. We have that, that's promised in the scripture, that there will be no suffering, no more sorrow. There's going to be no halt, no deaf, and no dumb in the resurrection. So he's not talking about that. He's talking about entering into life. And when he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the kingdom of heaven is life. Until you enter his kingdom, you're on death row. That's right. You want to get off death row? Because that's what Adam and Eve received. Yeah, they received the sentence. The day they ate that fruit, they received the death sentence. You shall surely die. In that day, they received that death sentence. They were on death row from that day forward. And they did die. When their grace period was up, they died. Just like every other man. Well, save one that I know of. And that was Enoch, who was taken up. You know, the Heavenly Father can do what he wants. We can't question him. And we're not going to get into the him being one of the two prophets or in all of that right now. That's too far afield of this study. But here it is, in context and getting back to the verse. To enter into life means that we enter his kingdom. We get off of death row. We enter into his kingdom now. Because it would be better. Because, you know, you can enter into his kingdom without a foot. You can enter into his kingdom now without a hand. It would be better if you entered into his kingdom now without your feet and your hands. It would be better to enter into his kingdom now a paraplegic. It would be better to enter into his kingdom now under any circumstance than to keep all of your members and all of your facilities, and end up in the lake of fire. This ain't no you get pie in the sky when you die doctrine. He's not preaching that here. Yahshua never said, repent so you can go to heaven when you die. That's the modern state church evangelical message. That's the message of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. Yahshua pegged them well when he said they lead you up to the kingdom, but they don't suffer you to enter because they don't go in themselves. They just promise you, you get to go to heaven when you die. No, he preached a different message. The message is repent for the kingdom is at hand. It would be better to go to enter the kingdom now and spend the rest of your life without both your hands and both your feet than to be cast into everlasting fire. All right, well, that's the end of chapter 18. And that's why I preach this message here. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Cross the border. I just say it a little differently. Cross the border into the kingdom of heaven and live forever. Because of the name Cross the Border, it draws an illustration for us. And I believe that his Holy Spirit gave me that illustration many years ago as I was driving. I was traveling, excuse my slip there. I was traveling to the studios of KDNO to do my broadcast and cross the border. Now, he gave me that message for the day, and it's stuck with me ever since. Okay, we're moving on here to chapter 19 of the Gospel of Matthew and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Yahshua had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him and healed, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Yeah, for any reason whatsoever. And he answered and said unto them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh, wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh? What therefore Yahuwah hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Wow, there's so much there. Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning, here he affirms the creation account. He made them female and male, male and female, our Creator, our Heavenly Father, and said, he attributes the proclamation that came out of Adam's mouth, because Adam was the man of God. He was made in the image of the Almighty Creator. The words that came out of his mouth, For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. And that's the point he's drawing on, the one flesh. It's a proclamation. It is the word of God. It was spoken by the man of God, the perfect man created in the image of God. It's recorded there in the word for us. It is the word of God. And there's a little bit more to this message than just the twain shall be one flesh. So let's talk about that while we're here. For this cause, you know, this goes back to that commandment that says honor your father and your mother. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. For this cause. There's no other cause for a man to leave his father and mother. The authority of the father and the mother is not to be breached except for the cause of marriage. And that in obedience to the father and the mother. That's right. This is the teaching of the scripture. And as we went through the law, go back to my studies in Exodus, Leviticus, and it's there, we cover it. The family law, it's in the scripture. Go back and you'll find it. And we draw to at that time. So there it is. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother. Now, of course, everyone has a higher authority than their father and mother. And that is the Almighty Creator. So he could call someone out of their family situation. But that is the only instance. So for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. I hope you get the idea. And shall cleave to his wife. He begins a new household. He becomes the head of that household. And what does this say about women? That they can leave their father and mother at any time? Well, no. The woman is under the coverture of her father until he gives her away. And so we have that vestige of the Heavenly Father's kingdom law for families. Yet in the marriage ceremony, when the preacher stands up and he says, who gives this woman away? And of course, that's the father's position. Unless the father isn't alive, then it would fall to the next person in line in the family government to give that woman away, because he is her coverture. He is the protector of her virginity. He is to make sure that she is chaste and that she is a virgin bride until the day he gives her away. That's a father's place. And if you fathers are out there sending your daughters to the public school to be taught how to put condoms on bananas, you're not doing a very good job, are you? To be taught how to engage in sexual intercourse before they get married, that's okay. To be taught the ethics of romance and the idolatry of romance so they can fall in love on their own rather than live their life in obedience to you under God's law until you give them away, until you affirm that a man can approach your daughter. And you young men out there, you see that girl? You're interested in her, huh? Don't steal her. Don't break God's commandments by going around her father. You go to her father and you ask his permission. You say, "Sir, may I see your daughter? Sir, may I ask for your daughter's hand in marriage?" And if he says yes, well, then you listen to him and you do what he says and you do not trespass the bounds of his authority and responsibility. Keep his daughter pure until the wedding night. And if he says no, then you obediently withdraw and you thank the Heavenly Father that you did not make a mistake. And you praise God because he's going to reward you for your obedience. Perhaps he may give you that girl and perhaps he may not. So you can pray harder for her, but you say, "Nevertheless, thy will be done. Nevertheless, thy will be done." That's what it means to walk in the kingdom of heaven. That we do those things which are only the things which please our Heavenly Father. That we live according to his law word. We allow him to write his word, his law upon our hearts so that he can become our God, our Elohim, Yahuwah, our Elohim. And we become his people. That's how we live in his kingdom. And when we rebel, if you rebel, then you're out. That's right. Oh, if you rebel, he'll come after you. He'll convict you. The Holy Spirit will come and convict you of your sin, of your rebellion. But if you persist, first he'll rebuke you, then he'll chastise you. And if that chastisement does not work, you will find yourself, as the apostle said, turn them over to the world to be tried by the world. Something like that. I can't quite recall the exact phraseology of that, but we'll get to it. For the destruction of the flesh. I think those were the words that we have recorded in the King James Version. Turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Oh, that's a terrible thing. But if you don't respond to the conviction, the rebuke, and then the chastisement of the Heavenly Father and his Holy Spirit when you rebel against him, then you will be cast out into the world for the destruction of the flesh. And you may come to your senses later after you experience some of that destruction, or you may just end up in that lake of fire forever. Don't go there. Hold on firmly to the Father's hands. Hold on firmly to his hand. Do not leave the kingdom under any circumstance. Become as a child and humble yourself. Like I said, if the Father refuses, you humble yourself. You become as a child in humility. So there we have it. You have an exhaustive teaching on, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore Yahuwah hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And then they said unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Well, they're kind of misstating it. Moses did not give a command to give a writing of a divorcement to put her away for any cause, as they're alluding, because there was a cause for divorce. Your wife, if your wife commits adultery, you could give her a writing of divorcement. And the writing of divorcement was really a gift to her to set her free to remarry. And that the whole writing of divorcement is under the kingdom law is far different than what is practiced out there in the world today. Because in the world today, a man or woman, according to man's law, can divorce either or at any time and get a writing of divorcement. Under the Heavenly Father's law, a woman could not give a writing of divorcement. That's right. It was the man who granted the writing of divorcement. A wife could not divorce her husband. She could leave her husband under certain circumstances. But you get into the fine intricacies of the law, and she may go before the judges in those circumstances and say something like, "He won't give me children. He's not taking care of the husbandly duties, and I should be free of him." And the judges would make a decree setting her free from that marriage. But if she was a harlot or wanted to marry another man, well, they wouldn't set her free, because who would marry her? But the husband could give her a writ of divorcement. Now you see how the law is a lot different. And the other thing, in the Hebrew law, a man could have more than one wife, where a wife could not have more than one husband. Because the drawing from the illustration that Yahshua gave of the 10 virgins, well, they had one husband, and there were 10 virgins to go in to the wedding. So you can't, a wife can't have two masters, just as we cannot have two lords or two masters, but our master can have many wives. And perhaps we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from this break. Don't go anywhere. It gets a little dicey here sometimes when we speak the truth. We'll be back.